Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey everyone, welcome back. This is going to be so much fun for you guys who are listening. I'm so excited to have the personal opportunity here to introduce Kayla Kane. Welcome. I'm so excited to have you.
Hey, Dave. How you doing, brother? Glad to be a part of it.
I think it's so much fun. People don't understand the amazing man that you've become. We were just sitting there thinking, well, what? How do you introduce someone like this? And you know what? I did 200 million views on YouTube. And basically took it from 0 to 20 million in our first year. I'm like, okay, that's something that that's a guy who's got some serious skill. The best part is he hardly ever, it's not a big, huge ego as much as it is. He's always out there helping people. And I'm so excited to really dive into this and really help you guys understand the importance of really, how do you scale a business? And again, Kelly, you've just been doing an amazing job. So with that being said, if you don't mind, tell people a little more about you and why they want to make sure they listen to this podcast.
Yeah. So, you know, I got started out in the industry, in the online marketing industry in 2012. I was working in a coffee shop for minimum wage at the time. And that's when I first started out as an affiliate marketer. That's where I made my first, you know, few million dollars in sales, over $1 million in commissions. And then in 2016, because of just lots of requests that we were getting, me and a friend partnered up. We launched our own courses and coaching business, and then we scaled that to 20 million its first year. We had about 200 million views on my YouTube ads in about that same amount of time. So we scaled up really quick. That's usually what people kind of know me for. I get all the time when I run into people like, I think I know you from somewhere. I'm like, yeah, it's YouTube. I promise. So, my channel doesn't get as much traction, but the ads just went insane.
I love it. And right behind you happens to be the 2CCC trophy here. And I love seeing the 25 already. It's already on there. I'm sure we're going to be very close.
You sent me the 50 mil. Yeah, you sent me the 50 mil. It's sitting on the floor near it right here. I just haven't put it on the plaque. And then we either already filled out the paperwork or we're filling out the paperwork right now for the 75. So
this is a guy who's got a very, very small ego, but a huge skill set. So I'm very excited to dive in deep on this kind of stuff.
Excellent. Let's do it.
All right. So when you take a look at, you know, people are going, well, how would I get started? How do I scale? And I think the whole idea that you have here is scaling a business, and which you just, there are very few people who are at 75 million. I wish as many people were, but you have this ability to really focus on scaling. So if you don't mind, help people understand, how do you really scale a business?
That's a really good, great question. And there's, you know, it's such a broad question too at the same time. So let me start a little bit, I guess, at the beginning. One of the things that really kicked off for us early on is really, you know, focusing on providing value in the ads themselves. So one of the questions I get very often is like, why did your ads just, you know, become insanely popular across the YouTube platform? And one of the things that we did when we launched was I was looking at what everybody else was doing in the world of online advertising, which was mostly like, hey, what's up? I'm so-and-so. Are you struggling with this? I can help you out with that. Click here, go, you know, opt in or go check out my webinar or watch my video or whatever. And so I took a little bit of a different approach. So at the time, a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, you got to keep your YouTube ads under about a minute, maybe 2 minutes max. And from my experience, it's like things need to be as long as it takes to make the sale. That's how long it should be, and no longer and no shorter. And so I took this approach of like, what if I just put real value in the ads themselves? You know, I got this really from Frank Kern. Frank said, you know, people buy from us because they believe that we're going to make their life better. And the best way to prove that to them is to make their life better right now. So we rolled out these 10 to 12 minute ads. And we had, when we launched, we had about 50 ads that we were testing. And these 10 and 12 minute ads just absolutely crushed for us. So in those ads, we call them a portal ad. I take people through like I kind of walk them into my house, walk them into my life, give them a little bit of backstory and say, hey, you know, here's what I've been able to do. And I start breaking down the subject matter and helping epiphanize that audience inside of the ad itself. And I used to have people that would message me on the side fairly often, actually, that would say, like, I got so much value out of your ad. I went and signed up for these different affiliate programs. And now I got my own affiliate business and all these different things. And I'm like, great. You know, even if they never bought anything from me, at least they felt like I gave them some value in that 10 to 12 minute video. So I think part of it is that, you know, like that's our approach all the time now, is that our ads alone are of value to our target audience. Most of your audience, most of the people listening today probably wouldn't be blown away by the content of my ads, but my ideal audience is. Another thing that became really important for us was like the power of one. So focusing on just one strategy. So at the time we launched, we had Facebook ads and YouTube ads. And right away we realized that on YouTube, we were paying a higher cost per lead and a higher cost per acquisition of a customer, but that customer was worth more to us overall. And the velocity of that customer buying was quite a bit faster, meaning they spent more money with us and they spent it faster. So we eventually, you know, took all of our ad spend, as much as we could spend on YouTube without breaking the customer acquisition cost that we were willing to endure. We spent everything that we could on that one channel. That allowed us to focus on one strategy, one set of ads, one funnel, because in the past, what we found is, you know, different traffic platforms that tend to have different behavioral styles from the traffic coming off of that platform, right? So as an example, my primary customer acquisition vehicle is a webinar. That's a video. It's a, you know, 2-hour video. People watching videos on YouTube are much more likely to click through and go watch a video for 2 hours than somebody who's on Facebook standing in line at the DMV, just kind of scrolling through, you know, seeing if they're, you know, seeing what their friends ate for lunch or whatever. So it's a very different behavioral style. But because we're focused on one channel, we were able to dial in the funnels to focus on that specific behavioral type. Then we had, you know, one major product on the back end. We had one sales sequence, and it gave us the ability to narrow all of our attention, which I think is really important when in the process of scaling, right? It's not about doing more. And I actually got this from a buddy of mine interviewed Colin Powell. And in the interview, he asked, hey, you know, General Powell, if you could speak to your 20-year-old self, what advice would you give him? And he said, I would do less, better. So do less, but do it better. And, you know, a lot of people that when I talk to entrepreneurs or I'm speaking at events, they're trying a lot of things. They're doing a lot of things. And so we tend to think that more is more. But in the process of scaling a business, I actually found that less is more. It's not about doing more. It's about doing less, but doing that less much better than everybody else is doing it. And then, of course, there's, you know, hiring teams, bringing on teams, building culture, these sorts of things. But if I could give anybody one piece of advice, it'd be, you know, do less, better. And that's what we really focus on here. Kind of keep it simple.
Man, I love that idea. Who was the person who said that?
Colin Powell.
Oh, so yes.
A buddy of mine, Brian Sullivan, interviewed Colin Powell when he was in college. And that was Colin's advice to himself, Mr. Powell's advice to himself, do less, better.
That's amazing. So when you take a look at that, it's, gosh, I'm in a situation where I've got four boys all in their, you know, basically 19 to 26 here. And I think about that whole idea, you just want to do everything. And so you're spending so much time in different areas. And yet at the same time, I love that from Colin Powell, and that is do less, but do it better. And so I'd love for you, obviously you spend a whole bunch of time focusing on this or helping people. How do you identify what it is that you should be spending time on? What are the things that people should be looking at doing? Because I know so many people are like, oh, I'm going to do everything. And by doing everything, you do nothing.
Man. So this eventually became part of our decision-making process as well. Like when we have a weekly executive team meeting, and in our executive team meetings, we really only talk about two things, KPI and SWOT. So we're looking at our key performance indicators, trying to identify like where, you know, the most important numbers in our business. And we don't look at all of them, we have a principle called dashboard and undercarriage. So, you know, when you're driving a car, as an example, you know, you don't need to see everything. You just see RPMs, speed, fuel, these sorts of, you know, gas. So you just need to know, are you going to arrive on time and alive? So that's all you need to know. But if the engine starts smoking, you take it into a shop, they plug it into the diagnostics, and they pull all this other data from the undercarriage, right? You don't need to see that on a daily basis. You just got to make sure that your top line numbers are important. So we look at, we break that into dashboard versus undercarriage. So the execs, we all look at our dashboard KPIs. From our dashboard KPIs, you know, we figure out what are some of the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to the business. And then from there, not all activity is of equal importance. So not everything that we can do, should we do, and not everything that we should do has an equal return on time and resources. So then we break out the things that we identify that, yeah, this is probably worth doing. Then we break it down in terms of risk reward ratio. So we're looking for lots of small hinges that swing big doors versus big hinges that swing medium to midsize, you know, small to midsize doors. So typically we're looking, because we know that we all have a finite amount of resources. We all have a finite amount of time in the day. My team has a finite amount of energy. So what are the best places that we can spend our time? And we're looking for lots of small hinge, big door opportunities. And anything that, you know, that we, where we feel like, yeah, this is going to take a few months and we could get a decent return on it. Those things tend to end up somewhere near the bottom of the list. And we also eventually had to learn how to get comfortable with the idea that some things that we think are important, we're just never going to get to.
Yeah.
You know, it's important.
I totally love that.
Yeah.
So I love the idea here as far as the whole small hinges swinging big doors. This is something I've learned about years ago. And I think it's such a critical thing when you start looking at the things that matter the very most and the impact that it has, not only on your business, but on your employees, on your products, on every single thing. And too often people spend, as you were kind of alluding to earlier, and that is these huge hinges on small doors. Like those things just don't matter as much as the small hinges on the big doors. If you don't mind, give some people some ideas or examples of what are some of the things when you're looking at that, to really spend the time trying to find.
Let me think of an example of something kind of recent. One, as a recent example that came across our desk recently, is we've kind of run out of time and resources on the team to run a lot of split tests in our ad campaigns and in our funnels. And so we started looking for a CRO because it's something that we used to do on the internally, but I like to keep my team like tiny and mighty, we call it, right? Again, it's that whole principle, like maximum reward versus risk ratio. And I had big teams at one point. I had 60, 70 people on my team. Today, you know, we're clipping a couple million dollars a month. Do it with 25 team members on my team. And so one of the numbers that I watch pretty often is actually earnings per employee, because it helps me understand how efficiently we're operating. But as we're increasing efficiency, we start to outsource more and more things that, you know, aren't necessarily worth insourcing for us from our perspective. And one of those things that came across our desk was conversion rate optimization. It's something that we used to do pretty often, running split tests inside of our own funnels. And over time, we just ran out of resources to be able to do it. So we brought on a CRO agency. Now, at the same time that we're looking at that, we're also looking at there's some issues that we're having with our CRM, making it difficult for us to pull data kind of cleanly and consistently, making sure that the data is consistent across the sales channel versus marketing channel versus the fulfillment channel. And data being an important driver of the business because it's how we make our decisions. So we're looking at, you know, should we potentially switch CRMs? And the answer is probably yes, we should, right, at some point. But when we look at that, which is going to take us probably 6 months and be, extremely painful, versus let's hire a CRO agency to help us get some additional lift in our funnels. Well, that CRO agency started with us 90 days in. Our CPA, our cost of acquiring a customer, was down basically 50%. So we were paying half of what we were previously paying to acquire a customer, which shot our ad spend. We're now bringing on two times as many customers for the same amount of ad spend that we were spending just 90 days prior to that. That changes the business quite quickly over the course of 90 days. And all we had to do was change pages after they ran all the tests for us, and they're running multivariate tests. So literally 3 to 5 hours a month of work on our end doubled our revenue.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? So that's a small hinge, big door opportunity as an example.
I love that. I think that's actually small hinge, but it's a very huge door. Those are some great numbers. As you take a look here, or people are listening going, if you don't mind, say, what exactly is a CRM and what's a CRO? What's that stand for?
Okay, I got it. Yeah, sorry about that. So CRM, customer relationship management, we tend to think of those as, in an earlier part of my career, I was using things like GetResponse or AWeber, something like this to keep in contact with the list that I was building. Today, it's a much more robust business. So you're talking about like the ActiveCampaigns, Infusionsoft, HubSpot, things like this. So basically, how do we manage the relationships and the pipelines for the audience that we're building? Clients, leads, prospects, this sort of thing. And then CRO, conversion rate optimization. So basically just looking for those tiny lifts that cascade throughout the business. So when we look at like the top of the more we optimize, the closer to the top of the funnel that we optimize, the greater the cascading effect. So, if I optimize, as an example, my show up rate for a sales call, which is like 20 levels deep, 20 steps into the funnel, right? Yeah, I can get a better show up rate. Maybe I go from 75% to 85%. There's going to be a return on that. But, going from 75% to 85% in show up rate is going to be much more difficult than potentially just getting a 20% lift on our opt-in page at the very beginning of the funnel. And that 20% lift on the opt-in page means more people attending webinars, more people buying front-end products, more people booking calls to begin with, da, 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 and it just kind of cascades down throughout the rest of the funnel. So typically when we're looking at conversion rate optimization, we're looking for top of funnel opportunities first, because we know that we're going to get the largest cascading return, and then we work our way down from there. Does that make sense?
That. No, I appreciate that. Again, so obviously for those people who are listening, please understand everything that one of the first things you guys want to do is spend more time with him any way you possibly can. So where should we send people right now?
If people want more content from me, I think the best place right now, I'm overhauling my website. So the best place right now would be my Instagram. So Keala Kanai on Instagram. So at K-E-A-L-A-K-A-N-A-E. And I get that that's Hawaiian and that's difficult for some folks. It's only 10 letters, but somehow it has 20 vowels in it. It's difficult. And then, if you connect with me on IG, give me a follow. Also beware that like there's lots of scammers on IG right now pretending to be me. So I just want to, I'm never going to inbox you and pitch you investments, just so we're clear.
I love that. So as you take a look right now at scaling and growing the next level for the, again, we're coming down towards the end of 2022, we're halfway mark here. As you look at the last half, what are some of the main things that you're trying to scale and grow to the last half of 2022?
Most of these days, I'm more focused on my team. So these days, I hardly ever really talk with my team about like scaling our ad campaigns. And I've got enough smart people on the team to figure those things out. These days, I'm more focused on scaling our talent acquisition. So really looking at, when I was a marketer, I guess I still am a marketer, but as a marketer, we look at like customer acquisition to grow the business. But from an internal perspective in operations, I'm looking at more of like a talent acquisition. So oftentimes in business, in my experience, up until recently, we only hired when we needed help. So we're always looking for, hey, there's an opportunity that we're missing out on here, or we're sensing a bit of strain on this department here. Let's hire, let's pull some additional hands in. Whereas now we're starting to transition to this point wherein I'm actually interviewing somebody in a couple of days here, and my CEO is interviewing them today. But we're looking to bring somebody on the team that's just going to constantly be looking, running ads to, you know, scour the marketplace for additional talent that we could just add to the team in advance of meeting them. So for the most of the second half of the year, I'm more so focused on scaling up my team through very specific talents that we want to acquire. So as an example, you know, we've done a great job at paid marketing. We haven't done nearly as good a job at social or organic. And that's outside of my, you know, normal skill set. But if we can, you know, scour the, and we don't necessarily need it at this point, but it would be a great acquisition to the team. It would ultimately cut down the net cost of acquiring a customer. When you look at the organic component coupled with paid advertising, it drops the net cost of acquisition considerably. And so that's an example of, like, we don't necessarily need it now, but we're being proactive in our talent acquisition for the internal workings of the team.
I love it. And I think the cool part for me on that is that's really how you scale to that next level.
Yeah.
It again, I know we're only at 75 million, but 100 million is right around the corner with that kind of stuff. So I love that. Congratulations on your success. Anything else you want to make sure that our audience is listening to this going, you know what, there's one more thing I should tell you. Anything that comes to mind that you think, I really want to make sure they get this?
Man, that's such a loaded, Dave, you're full of these loaded questions, man. We got 20 minutes to spend a day on for topics that we could spend a day on. But, you know, one thing I would say is, like, something that served me well is, you know, at first when we were building a business, we build a product. And hopefully we build a product or a service that's such good quality that it's good enough to turn into a business. And then we start building the business. And then eventually we graduate from building the business to building the team that builds the business, building the people that build the business. And, you know, today that's where, you know, I'm more focused, right? It's like I'm building the team and the culture and making our environment just an incredible place to work. I look at it. So here's a big takeaway that shifted our perspective internally. So one day I was going through a partner buyout, and I eventually was able to buy out the partner. And then we were going through a rebrand, and I sat down with my executive team and I said, you know what? I think we may have been approaching this the wrong way. You know, we've been very focused on marketing and sales, which is, hey, we grew really quick because of that. But I actually think that we have five different types of customers and we've only been paying attention to one. And so they were like, huh, what do you mean by that? I said, well, here's my thoughts. I think our first type of customer is a prospect. It's somebody who's not even a lead on our email list yet. They're not even a customer of our newsletter. They're literally a customer of our ads. And when they see our ads, those ads should be valuable. Now, at that point, we've done a decent job of that, but I was just adding actual verbiage to it and making sure the team was aware of it. So our first type of customer is a prospect. If we treat a prospect good, they become a lead. That's the second type of customer. That lead is a customer of our newsletter. We can't just be beating them over the head trying to sell them stuff. You know, they have to have some value. And of course, at times we're going to ask for the sale. Our third type of customer is the customer. That's the one that we're all aware of. They bought stuff from us. Our fourth type of customer is an affiliate of ours, the people that are sending us business through referrals. Are we giving them everything that they need in order to succeed, just like we would any other customer, right? Because at some point or another, we've made a promise to them. Are we fulfilling on that promise? And then the fifth type of customer is a team member. And a team member is a customer of the culture and the opportunity that we provide. And are we providing our team, are we treating our team members with as much care as we would treat a customer? And what I found over time is, and that shifted our perspective, and we started to really look at, like, all of these five groups of people as customers and how can we best serve them based on where they're at. And what I found over time is if we take care of the team members, they take care of the other four.
Very cool. Very cool. Oh my gosh. That's a podcast just on, you know, those five things themselves. So I may have to come back to you on that one.
I'll be here.
I know you will. Again, I can't thank you enough. It's so much fun. I think as you take a look at the opportunity of scaling and growing a business, it's really where the fun comes. Once you get started and you start having that success, now the real key is, how do I scale that? And I've seen that happen in so many businesses where they'll go from startup to about that 1 to 3 million, and it just stops right there. And it just bounces between 1 and 3, 1 and 3, 1 and 3. And it's those people who can really focus on how do you scale that, where now all of a sudden you go from 3 to 7 million and 10 million and then even greater success. So obviously massive success to you, but I think it's so amazing to see what you're doing to help so many other people do the same thing. So Kayla, I thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Dave. I appreciate you too, brother. And thanks for everything that ClickFunnels has done for us and our business. Appreciate you, man.
Sounds great, bud. We can't wait till you can now say that about ClickFunnels 2.0 coming out soon. And for those of you guys who are listening here, we'll get that out to you probably in about a month, maybe two from the time you hear this. So we're excited.
Don't tease me, Dave. Don't tease me. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you having me.
Well, I hope you absolutely loved the last podcast. I think the part I'm most excited is about what's coming up next, and that is Funnel Hacking Live. I am so, so excited for the opportunity of actually being with people live and going through all the crazy opportunities for so many different people who've had such great success. Obviously, we have our Two Comma Club and our Two Comma Club X and our Two Comma Club C. So, I mean, there's so many opportunities that people are showing success. In addition to that, we have 25 plus different speakers who are showing all the crazy things they've gone through to have the success, place where you absolutely want to be. We'll have over 5,000 people who are there, and I think it's just a crazy, crazy opportunity for you to be able to share with people who are at so many different stages within their business, and I think you'll absolutely love it. So go to funnelhackinglive.com and sign up for our upcoming event. Again, it's funnelhackinglive.com. Thanks. We'll talk to you guys soon.